Hi, everyone. Good to be back with you again on another Basecamp conversation. And so co-hosting this call with me is Jeff Andresian, and we are talking with a guest who is really just a good friend and a Basecamp member, Kevin Miller. And we've done several of these with Kevin over in the past, and they've always been good. And what we wanted to do tonight was really talk about, you know, approximately the last 6 months of Kevin's life. He has made some major realignments in all different ways. And one of the things I so admire about Kevin is he really is a man of passion. I mean, he is doing what he is doing with Free Agent Academy, this company, this organization that he has started because it's his heart and it's his passion. And he is committed to living out of his heart and living through his passion. And so, therefore, what he does is teach other people how to do it as well. And in the midst of this, going after his heart and his passion and really going after God, he has been running into roadblocks like we all do. But one of the things that I would give Kevin high marks on is that Kevin, in my observation of his life, is very observant of when God is saying, wait, you're going the wrong direction, or we need to do this differently, or the time for that is over, now the time for this has begun. He's very aware of that, and one of the reasons, besides the fact of his commitment to walk with God and hear him, is because he has surrounded himself with friends and invited them to speak into his life and observe his life, from his work to his marriage to his walk with God to his walk with his friends. And so this is what we wanted to talk about tonight, and I know I'm really excited about it. So, Kevin, thank you for being willing to do this with us.
Hey, man, I'm grateful, honored, incredibly honored. I'm going to listen to the recording so I can strive to live up to that intro. So thank you.
Well, you know, I hate exaggeration, so I did it at that point.
Okay.
So maybe you just don't see it as strongly as I see it. So, Kevin, let's do this. You pick a starting point. Go back somewhere in your recent past and maybe just tell us about a point where you had to relook at things, or circumstances were such that it forced you to say, is this working? Is it not working? Or just start us somewhere.
Beginning of this year with work, we had set up a model that really wasn't working on two ends. Financially, we had too many people, incredible people like you as a leader in there involved, really serving people, you know, in Free Agent Academy. And the revenue model didn't make sense, and the expectation got higher in the membership, and so, you know, leaders were given too much, not getting paid enough. And I felt we're not giving people enough as well. They need more help coming alongside. And it was, in one way, it was my heart seeking. I don't want to be positive entertainment. I want to help people change. But I really feel like I turned to my heart, and this is I don't know, Gary. You can help discern or figure this out for me, maybe, because I really feel like I'm still in discovery mode in somewhat. But I turned to my heart and not enough to the Lord. And I did turn to a lot of other friends, a lot of other counsel on this, you know, business stuff. And we went after a big change, and I missed it. And we had a significant failure business-wise, even as my audience is growing more than ever. The membership was, and I started to cut it off and didn't listen to the people I was serving, really. And real quick, we saw the fruit. And, of course, you know, as soon as something like that happens, you start trying to do the surface readjustments. My wife calls it, I start rearranging the furniture, you know, with the business, mm-hmm. and rearrange the living room. And I started doing that. But ultimately, it was obvious that something big has gone wrong. And on one hand, I did seek counsel from a business, pure business, you know, sense as far, well, not a pure business sense, from a service sense, like how are we serving people? We went after that. When I stepped back and just said, this is not working, to multiple people, I did it to you and Sam, at the restaurant. I did it with my wife at the table over a deep discussion. I did it with a couple other of our professors. I did it with my guys. I have three core guys that I walk through life with. I did it with them, and unanimous feedback from them that, gosh, Kevin, it sounds like you went astray. It sounds like you're trying to play God. You're not letting people have their own process. I mean, it was just unanimous. Then we polled past members, and then we polled a bunch of prospects from, I was on the Zig Ziglar show and had all these new interests, new inquiries, and polled them. And it was just this consistent thing that I missed it. So even in my heart to serve the Lord, I am afraid that I didn't really open myself up. I sought counsel on some aspects of it, but didn't open myself up to, does this make sense? Does this look right? Does this feel right? And I hurt us. I hurt us pretty significantly. And not to pass over any parts, but as you know, in the past 60 days, in taking counsel and following it, it's been a tidal wave. More than doubled our membership. And I did a call last night, and we had 36 of the new members on there. You were with me, obviously. Mm-hmm. Just great questions and great participation. Such an increase from what we've had. And I'm looking at it, going, how did I miss this? How did I miss it? So I mean, it's a big realignment. And
okay, so Kevin, let me ask you then. So taking it out of the specifics for a minute of Frasian Academy and what you do and this effect that God has created you to have that you understand and you're doing it, taking it into a more general category that we can all go, oh, that's me, or I've done that, or whatever. What is it that happened? How would you describe what happened and how God kind of woke you up to it to make an adjustment, a realignment?
How I fell into that, honestly, I fell away from really seeking my Father and really asking his counsel. I was so busy taking, and this is consistent for me where I feel like I get a vision from the Lord, and I go, and I take off. And in essence, I'm saying, okay, I got it. I'm good. I'm gone. And then I find myself when the fruit doesn't happen, when you planted the field and there's no rain, and I'm saying, hey, come on, God, catch up, or what's the deal? I didn't wait. I didn't seek a confirmation. I just went. That's my habit. That's my the dog returning to its vomit. And it's seeing the fruit primarily in other people, and I know it, and I start avoiding. And it's the red flag for me. I start wanting to sequester myself away. That's what I do. I retreat. And it's stereotypical in my life. And this was this time it reared up more than I've seen it in a long while. And then it's starting to question, did God allow it? Did he cause it? All those questions. But I think it probably needed to happen because I've got to cut it off. I've got to overcome.
Okay, so a vulnerability for you, I'm taking from listening to you right now, and you said it's stereotypical, which makes me think, okay, this has happened before. There's a pattern here for you. We all have our own. So your pattern is you get a vision, you get an idea, you get this desire and passion, and you run toward it. And so when it's not working as well, it sounds like you just kind of put your head down and run all the faster.
Initially, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but to the how does God wake you up aspect?
Mm-hmm.
If I can give myself any credit amongst the failing, it's that I am really sensitive to, is it producing fruit or not? Is it producing fruit? And if it's not, we've got to step back and look at it. And this time, when it finally wasn't, I did it with more people than I've ever done, and I listened, and I accepted a lot. And not to create a formula, obviously, but to look at it now and to see, my gosh, I need to be grateful for what's happening instead of just going, how did I miss it? And I spent a year trudging through this. Being sensitive to the fruit, you and I talked about this today. I am grateful for that I don't stay in bad places too long. And I think, you know, it's not just being self-employed, but doing what I do, I exaggerate some of the circumstances beyond what most people have. You know, when you've got a consistent job and life is pretty consistent, I think that it's easy to fall into not being that aware of the fruit, not stepping back and just kind of going with the flow because it's not that acute. And I tend to live and put myself in more acute situations. So I'm grateful for that. But I do see that most of the time we don't step back and analyze and look at things and see, is this working, until it gets bad. And that's probably man in general, until it gets really bad. And I continue to try to mature, to step back quicker and to open myself up, you know, be vulnerable, step back sooner and say, is this working? Or is this going the right direction? If we plot this out, is this going to end up where we want it to be? Mm-hmm. I'm getting better, but I'm the chiefest of sinners in some ways.
Well, you know, I have a feeling that all of us listening on the phone can say, oh, I do that. I mean, what I wrote down from listening to you was, it's just, you know, it's important that we try to understand fruit or effect versus simply activity or busyness. Yeah, I know for me, my vulnerability is, what I return to is, when things aren't going well, I just work harder. I mean,
yeah.
I go to that isolation of, I'm going to work longer and harder. And I do struggle with the idea of, where is the line between a circumstance calling for perseverance and on the other side of that where it's saying, no, this is the wrong direction. Don't keep persevering, change. And I don't know, I'm just really fascinated by that idea, because I've seen people who stay in the change mode forever. I mean, they end up chasing their tail. And then I see others who are in the perseverance thing, and they've been persevering for 20 years, and they look back and say, for what?
Yeah.
And I can fall in that one, because I fall into the, you know, work harder thing. So I don't know, Jeff, what would you say your vulnerability is?
Well, what I'm picking up on in this conversation is, you know, I think all these ministries, it's fluid. It just doesn't stay the same. And I'm wondering, as I'm listening to Kevin, that he got stuck, but he says he doesn't stay long in his stuckness. And I wonder if stuckness is really part of the journey. But what it does is it causes us to go transcendent. We have to transcend the stuckness to go back to the Father. Almost take our eyes off the work to go back to the Father. And I just think it's really actually part of the journey. It's what you do with it. So I love the fact of your transparency of talking to other people and getting feedback into what they're seeing.
Well, thank you. That's what I'm continuing to, you know, hopefully mature, and I need to do it quicker. I need to, one, continue to know what is the outcome, what is the goal here, and not just trudging along existing. What are we looking for in whatever, whether it's work or family or a ministry thing or whatever we're going towards. And I think any time, even when things are going good, we should get counsel on it. But obviously, when things don't seem right, when things aren't producing, to get feedback and say, what do you really think? What do you really think? Well, to start off, say, this is not working. I mean, that, again, that has been the biggest blessing to me recently, saying, this is not working. What do you think? I thought this was right, and it's not working. What do you think? And just having that, I think the grateful thing from that, though, is having people who cared enough to know me. They had context, we had history, and to know my heart, and that cared enough to sit there and talk to me for however long it took to go through it. And when I talk about some of this, I find that a lot of guys, they don't have that. And I think, well, that's the place to start then. Left to our own, we're dead in the water. And so if we're hearing the word that, okay, we've got to have other people speaking into our lives, then the next step is, okay, I got to go nurture those relationships so I've got somebody who will speak to me when I need it or as I need it. And, you know, I see that in you, Jeff, and in Gary, and a lot of guys involved here, that they have that. It's very abnormal, but I think the majority don't, and that's what they come back to. I don't have that. It sounds great, Kevin, but I don't have that. Go nurture it. Go nurture it. I got three guys I've been meeting with for 3 years, maybe more. Two of them I've met with a lot longer than that, and then we add in another guy. I think the four of us for 3 years now, and we talked this morning at a depth that we have never gotten to before.
Wow, really kind
of wailing on each other. A couple of us, like brothers, and it wasn't just a happy chit chat. But afterwards, like, damn, that was.
Yeah.
It took us this long to get here. We think how great it'll be in 3 years. We can totally beat the crap out of each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's encouraging. And I also have to say, you know, it's very brave for you to say, hey, this is not working.
I
see so many ministries just doing the same thing, even though it's not working. And my question for you is as you go to these people and ask them about what they're seeing, how do you determine, because now you have a lot of voices coming in, how do you determine, hey, you know what, that was useful or yeah, that's just your opinion, or, you know, how do you sort that out as you open yourself up to what others might be seeing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you've always got to be open to, you know, you're going to get some crap from somebody who has a bias or an agenda in it, which could be your wife. Nothing against our wives, but
they're
the ones that have, they've got skin in the game, generally, with whatever we're dealing with. But in my case here, though she has plenty of bias and agenda, she was spot on in this circumstance. I think, you know, one, obviously just having good people around whose hearts you can trust, who do actually care about you, and they're not in it for them necessarily. But then having the more the better, because you can look for the common threads. Because sometimes you're going to talk to somebody about something and ask for some feedback, and they don't really get it, or they're not totally on board, but they can give their best, and, you know, great. And then, I actually, when you first asked that question, I thought it was being completely open with what you've done, why you thought it would work, and what's not, and why it's not, you know, why it seems to not be, and just lay it out. Don't defend it. Let them ask for it. I told a counselor one time who was being nice. I said, "Dude, I am not paying you to be nice to me. Tell me what the hell I'm doing wrong." It's the only reason. I got plenty of people be nice to me. The only reason I'm paying you is to tell me what's wrong. And I think we have to preface that when we're asking for feedback, to say, "Look, I'm not here to have you tell me that I'm a good guy amongst this failure. I need help. I need help. Man, that is so unnatural for me. Maybe I'm definitely on the far end of the spectrum of that. And I don't pride. Pride definitely, but some of it's just I'm hardwired that way. I am just hardwired, you know, to think of others better than yourselves. I mean, I have no wiring in me for that. Yet it's written there in my.
Well, you know what, Jeff and I. We'll beat you up for $50 an hour. How's that?
Yeah, I'm up for that. Yeah,
that's a good deal. Hey, in the counseling world, that's
oh, I know,
it's a deal. Almost two for one.
Two for one. Yeah. So you let us know. And
I'm
we'll,
on board.
So right. You know, here's one of the things that strikes me is that, you know, I think it really is hard, and I'm speaking for myself, it's hard to really sometimes look at the realities of things because we're really afraid of what that may mean. You know, if we're really carefully and say, so what's really happening here? What's the fruit of this? What's the effect really? You know, it's easy to go to say, gosh, then that's just going to show that I'm the failure I always was afraid that I was going to find out I was. And so it's just so easy to ignore reality. And then, of course, for that same reason, it's very hard to go to others and say, what do you see? How do you think it's going? So I'm thinking about that as you're talking, and then I'm thinking, but you know what? The prerequisite to looking at your own life and effect or asking others to is that you really do honestly know what you want your effect to be.
Mm.
And to be able to articulate that, I think, to good friends and say, this is what I want my effect to be with
yeah.
my wife, my children, the world, my work. And then to look at the hard realities of that, because at least you're holding on to something good, which is what you want, versus avoidance of what you're afraid of, may be true. I think that's probably the key. So you can hear things
yeah.
and not take it as, you know, personal failure, the end of my life, I was afraid I was going to hear this kind of thing.
Well, yeah, it makes me think that that's a big piece of it, Gary. That's a big ingredient. I totally agree with you that knowing, you said your effect, that in this, like, I got such good counsel because I said, look, this is what my intent was. This is what I did. This is not working. Now what? And they said, okay, I understand the intent. Understand what? That was a really bad way to do it. I wouldn't do that. Really? What would you do? Well, I would do this. Okay. Okay. So knowing that letting them know what the intent was, I think, is key. But you know, one of the primary threads in this for me that I didn't think about till a minute ago is that I historically, when it gets bad, God will bring me, if I open myself to, what he'll finally bring me to is, Kevin, what are you holding on to? And there's always a root, and it's generally, it's a piece of the vision that he gave. It's the heart piece of it. I want to serve people in this way. But I'm holding on to this way. Serve people. You got that point right. Do it. Then I go to my way. I want to do it this way. This is the way that makes logical sense to me. And I'm always find myself holding on to something when I let that go. And honestly, that's a whole other conversation. That's what I want to talk to you about, some things that some idealism that I was holding on to, and the consequence of it has been a year of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And letting it go that I would not have done without counsel from enough other people because I was really holding on to it.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know what, Kevin, I think it would be really important for you, as it is for us, to, now that things, the tide has turned for you in some ways, you know, not to walk away from it and go, boy, things are better, evidently I've realigned well, instead of asking, okay, God, what else do I need to learn from this? What are the small changes that have to take place? And I'm not pointing just at you in that. I'm thinking it's really easy for me to get a little bit of forward progress and go, it's over. The next thing now, you know, and I think God is saying, whoa, 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 I'm not even done with that yet. We've got more gold to mine out of this one,
yeah.
You know, but especially when it impacts your work, I think it's easy to just kind of start moving forward. Now, let me ask you a question. There's a Ralph McClellan asked a great question here, and he said, when a business partner is not willing to be as open and honest as you are, what needs to be done?
Oh man, partnerships. That's a hard area. That's a hard area. I can try to give my best to that question. You know, Ralph, my primary experience with a partner was with two, and I actually walked away. We were unequally yoked. My heart wasn't in it. There was a lot there. But, you know, definitely made me leery of partnerships and trusting myself even within them. But when you've got a business partner not willing to be as open and honest as you are, depending on the pain of it, the extent of the consequences that are coming from that, you got big decisions to make. I mean, there's, again, it's common issue with partners. I mean, it's hard to know without knowing the details. I mean, that's a pretty broad stroke question because I don't know what's the manifestation of that. And depending on how acute that is, it may have to be an ultimatum from you that, hey, this has to happen. Man, guys, I don't know. You shoot. I don't have a great. There's so many questions I would ask in and around the specifics of that. Mm-hmm. But that's scary.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Go ahead, Jeff. I want to hear. Go ahead.
You know, one of the most, the deepest things that you shared so far to me, and I'm literally stuck on it, was the fact that you guys got together as partners and beat the snot out of one another and wound up somehow coming through it and going, why did it take us so long to say these things, you know? You know, that to me is really actually very impressive that you guys did that. And obviously you got to some deep waters with each other. And it sounds like we'll all kind of protect our corner until we can't hold on any longer, and you have this conflagration that happens. And it sounds like that was quite a powerful moment for you.
Yeah. And here's the thing that I would to throw into this as well, and we can take that out from a business partnership to just a friend, you know, deep friendships, which are almost like business partnerships. You're walking together. You're hopefully, you know, impacting the kingdom together and so on in some ways in your lives. And I think that when we talk to each other, we need to at least hit, you know, strike these two irons. And one is we need to speak to the man's greatest desire and who he is. And I think we also need to speak to what is holding that man back.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I think to be able to deal with someone that's not dealing with realities, everyone else can see him that the ship is going down, and he won't look at it. I think maybe a way in is to say, so what is it you really want? What is it that you're, you know, compelled to do? What's the desire of your heart here? And then maybe from that door come in and say, so why isn't that happening? And I think I may see some things, you know, and we can talk about that. But I know sometimes I'm fearful to talk about what are dangerous realities to what I want, because I'm holding on to this perception I want to have or this dream. And in my heart, I just believe I'm going to kill this thing anyway, so I don't want you to tell me. I don't want anybody to know. So that's probably what happened for you, Kevin, is that you knew the people that talked to you loved you,
yeah,
and you knew they admired your vision and your passion and your experience. And I think because you felt that first, they could come in and say, well, Kevin, do you see these realities really happening here? And perhaps is this why you were doing what you're doing, but it's not working? So I just think if we'd walk with each other in that way, that would be even more powerful.
Yeah, that speaks somewhat to, I saw the post earlier by Carrie here. He said, oddly, people don't seem to have any problem telling me what they think I'm doing wrong. And I don't know if that was in jest or if there was some seriousness in that, but I think a lot of people do find themselves in that situation where they're with people and there's not a level of respect amongst them. And again, it just brings us back to that big endeavor of having people in our lives that we are nurturing relationships with so that they've got our back in that sense. And it is, again, I think sometimes in these circles like we're talking in right now, we have more guys that have that. But, man, by far and large, guys don't, and they are going it alone. And I'm grateful that I've gotten to the point of fear of that, because that used to be my history. And now I realize it's not just a benefit and a bonus, because I got to that point too. Now it's I'm dead without it. I am dead. I'm dead. There's no hope for the level of fruition that I desire and feel called to.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin, one of the things, when we talked a couple hours ago preceding this call about this call, after hearing a little bit of your story, I just wrote down, and it's on the front of the base camp, the idea of roadblocks and realignments. And I was just thinking about that, and I thought, you know, we all live with roadblocks, whether we create them, whether God creates them, whether the world creates them. Either way, we deal with roadblocks. And it just seems like every time we have to get around a roadblock, we have to realign. We've gone off course, right? It's we have to realign, recalibrate all over again. And I just think if we could encourage each other to do that, because usually other people can see our roadblock before we do, you know, even though we sense it, if we could do that for each other and say, hey, you know, I see this. Do you see this? Is it? Do you think it's real? Do you think it's imaginary? You know, how will you realign your life around this now? I just think that'd be a powerful way to walk with each other. As Jeff talks so often about how we walk with each other, we live with each other as men around a round table, like what am I thinking here, Jeff? The round table in
Knights of the Round Table.
Say it again.
Knights of the Round Table.
The Knights of the Round Table, right? Where there's no head, no foot, and we can all speak to each other. I just think that'd be a powerful way to live.
I myself and the other guys, you know, continue to battle to do it, to take the time and take that investment. It's one of the hardest things, and we all know that. The biggest asset that we have is time. The biggest struggle is around time and investing that in each other. It's not urgent. It's one of the most non-urgent things in our lives, with family and work and so many things. And so few guys really invest the time, and yet when they do, it's ridiculous. Still learning. Yeah.
So Kevin, I'm not asking for a name here, but who is probably the first person to kind of hit the warning button, to raise the flag, to say something's not right here?
The first person. My wife.
Okay, bingo. Okay.
We were waiting for the good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, great answer. We do. Okay, so here's my other rhetorical question.
Oh, great.
How many other people needed to say something to you that got you to the point of saying, okay, I have to make a change?
How many other people? Wow. Let me just say the number that I literally have. I mean, I can count them off in my head and give credit to exactly how many other people aside from my wife.
Right. And were they men or women predominantly?
Seven other guys.
Okay. Bingo. Man, am I feeling better about my life.
Yep. Yep. My wife and seven other guys, and my wife's pissed that it took seven other guys to get me to do what she already
does. It is so true. And here's the deal. I can think real quickly that, you know, we are just stubborn. We don't want to listen to our wives, and, you know, we don't respect the voice of a woman as much as the voice of a man. But here's what I think, okay? I respect my wife very much. I love her. I respect her. She is a woman that sees much. And she tends to see something before I do and others do. And so she starts raising the flag. I don't pay it a lot of attention at first. And I think part of that is because we're married, because we're soulmates, there are so many things tied up interpersonally between us when she sees something. That it's hard for me to take it as something I need to run with now. But typically what happens for me, and it sounds like with you, is when a few other men come in and say, you know, to me, Gary, I see the same thing. And you know, we don't have the same interpersonal relationship. It's different. That's really powerful. And together it's powerful. So the reason I bring that up is not just to justify my actions from the past, but to say that we really need men around us and to be able to come to them and say, listen, you know, this is something my wife is seeing. She's been saying this for a while. What do you think? And it's not judging her ability to see as much as it's just bringing in, you know, more eyes on your life. I just think there's really something to that.
Well, and that's relevant because your wife does have, you know, some biases and some things. You know, she's got a lot of skin in the game, and it may be hard for her to see objectively. But, man, this is a whole other discussion for some time, but I am in the depths right now of seeing. I've got to live differently. That one of the key, again, traits from this last year was I separated in my work from my wife, and that's got to not only change, but that's got to be something more than it ever has been. I think that's God's, you know, design. One, and she's a smart girl, and I can't, and when she's not involved, I can't share as much in the victory, and I also don't have her with me in the tragedy. And so she's going to have to be with me, and I'm going to have to take the time, which I so often brush off there. She doesn't have time, and if she does critique something, you don't even know what's going on yet. I don't have the time to get you in on. I can't do it. I can't withstand it if I want the best. So it's got to change. I've got to change.
That's a good word. Okay, we're at our end of our 40 minutes, so let me just ask, any final thoughts, any final words? So, Jeff, with you, final thoughts, final words?
Yeah, you know, when I think about roadblocks, and I heard this in Kevin talking about letting go of things, I'm amazed at how many things are in me that I thought they were supposed to turn out this particular way, and they're not going that way, and I'm holding on to the way I thought things should turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see so much of the problem as roadblocks as those things in me that I have to let go. And I really appreciate your vulnerability, Kevin, mm-hmm. to open up your life. You're one of the most transparent guys I know, man. You're the first to admit a failure, and that is so unique, and it's so much fun to see it played out on stage. You do it on camera. I mean, it's amazing. And it encourages me to live the same way, to open up my life to other people. So way to go.
Thank you
for not staying stuck, you know, or not staying stuck too long. You know, is what I heard.
Yeah. Kevin?
Thank you, Jeff.
Final thoughts from you?
Actually, what Jeff just said about roadblocks, I tend to, in that light of seeing that I'm always holding on to something, I see them as I imprison myself, I limit myself consistently. And I tend to look at that. How am I holding myself back? How am I holding God's will back? What's shackling me? And I see that there's – I almost have that vision of I'm going forward and something's pulling me back as opposed to running into something. Because something's in front of me, I'm just going to jump over the damn thing. And that's how I live. But then I'm – why am I going slow? And I'm like the dream where you can't run fast enough. And, what am I holding onto? It's just a big one for me.
Yeah. You know, Kevin, that would be a great question to take to your friends, is one day sitting around and going, so what do you think I'm holding on to that I just need to let go, you know?
Jeff, we spent 2 hours talking about that this morning. No lie.
I wish I was there. I could have made, $100, $150 bucks, $150 an hour.
No. Yeah, I broached the subject, and they just took it and ran like never before. So, yeah.
I wish I was there, man. I would have sat there and said, oh, my God, me too. I'm the same. Like, you too? Oh, I need to let that go too.
Yeah. Well, and so one of my thoughts as we wrap up as well, and it actually goes back to what Kerry was talking about here, about his friends who tend to talk about what he's doing wrong or whatever. And one of my thoughts, not knowing the whole story, But even with what was just said now, as you talked about this time that you just had with your friends, it's so amazing how like attracts like. You know, in other words, if I humble myself in front of other people, they will humble themselves, and vice versa. If somebody just says, can I tell you about my life, and they're very humble and honest, then I want to be honest about my life.
Yeah.
If somebody's
exaggerating,
I want to exaggerate. If somebody's hiding, I want to hide. It is amazing. If I'm cynical, they're cynical. If I'm hopeful and positive, there, that just happens. And that's why I think, you know, the kind of people we're around and the way we treat them is so important. So I'm really struck by that. And that's probably what happened with your meeting this morning is, you know, the questions you ask and humility is what everybody wants, the same thing. You know, once they see it modeled, they get a taste for it. And the other thing that strikes me from this is this idea of, you know, honestly stopping to say, what right now is the fruit, the effect of my life? And to look, you know, at my marriage, my relationship with my children, my work, and it's easy to go into that mode because we are very comfortable beating ourselves up. I mean, I think every man is comfortable doing that. It's been done to us enough that we've learned how to do it. But rather, you know, staying in the love of God and going, you know what, I'm really okay with God. You know, it's like Jeff so often likes to remind all of us of, you know, at our worst moments, God loves us completely. You know, so at that point, then I can look at my life and say, so just what would I like, what effect would I like to have that I'm not? And then invite others into that as well. That's huge. You know, for you, you do have skin in the game, because what you are pursuing, who you are, is also tied to your income. And those will be quick indicators that you're going to feel, you know, and your family's going to feel. But like Jeff said, I admire your walk, and you inspire us all, so thank you.
Oh, man, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Gary. And such a great point, and I think that answers Ralph's question. What do you do with a partner that's holding back? I think the only thing you could do is be honest and humble and hope that that person works through it, you know, to live that way. That's beautiful.
Yep. Well, Kevin, thank you so much. Jeff, it's good co-hosting us with you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been a great evening.
Thanks,
and Kevin.
Kevin,
Kevin, have a great time. Kevin's going down to an orphanage down in New Mexico, working with Native American kids, and he's spending Thanksgiving down there. So have a great time down there.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
I'll donate the $50 I just made today right to you, to the cause. Okay.
Awesome.
So,
perfect. I appreciate that. Hey, thanks for the encouragement. It's a gift. Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, you are. All right.
Good night,
everybody.
Love you both.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.